I've really had a bit of a struggle this week. My one of my six-year-old granddaughters asked her mama and asked her honey, she calls Sheila, my grandkids call Sheila honey, and she asked them, why was Papa so angry? And I go, I hope I didn't come across angry, but maybe a little one shall lead me. And so sometimes it may sound like that I'm angry when I get a little hyper about things. But I love you, and I don't want you to ever think that I'm angry with you. I just know that, let's compare with Moses for a moment. Moses had to lead people to a place. And I'm sure it was not always going to work. Say, come on now, y'all, just follow me. A few times he probably had to raise his voice a little bit. And then God came along and helped him with that raising of his voice. So I believe that there's much more for us as a family of God and a church to be had than what we're having. And today we're going to look at these feasts. And let me just kind of give you this. You know, I always think of this stage up here as being a timeline. And so I want you to think of this. There was Passover, was first feast. After that, the second feast that came along was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After that was the Feast of First Fruits. After that came Pentecost. These are the three spring feasts. Now I'm going to do a little break here because you've got this period of time. Then you've got a lapse in time. We'll come back to that lapse in a moment. Then there's the fall feast that consists of the Feast of Trumpets, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then last, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you say, well, why did you leave that little gap here? I didn't leave the gap here. God did. There's a gap between the spring feast and the fall feast, and we're going to call this period here the church age. This is the time between those feasts that predicted the coming of Jesus Christ, what he would do, what he would accomplish. And then there's where we are in the church age. And then we have three more feasts that celebrate something yet to come. And that is the trumpet sound, which we celebrate here, thanks to Rick and to Debbie and so many others, the Feast of Trumpets. And then Yom Kippur, and of course, which is reminds us of what Jesus did for us. And then the last one is the Feast of Tabernacles, where God will actually tabernacle among his people. That means he's going to live with us. We're not going to have a detachment, only have an indwelling. We will be in his presence and he will be in ours. So I want to go through these feasts today with this thought in mind. We are, say it kindly, we are all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? The only reason I can tell you the church is in existence today is because we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, where the preacher may get a little hyper is when this part comes here, where we are to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're about everything else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to get this right. The church is here to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are still in this world today for one reason, and that is to be, raise my voice, that is to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it, folks. You're not here to be happy. You're not here to put on a happy face. You're not here to smile, to impress anybody. We are here to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So everything we do is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about this? We used to have this problem. Do you have this problem? We used to use the word foreign missions, and we did away with that. We call it international missions. And we always think, yeah, that's people over there. That's people over there, way over there. Have you ever thought about the people down in Africa, what they're thinking about you? To people in Africa that are Christians, you're doing foreign missions. And I'm doing foreign missions. And we're all doing international missions, okay? So you don't have to go someplace to be doing international missions. You can do it anywhere. And especially in the Atlanta area, we're always doing international missions. So take your notes, pull your notes out. And the reason I say use your notes this time, because I'm going to read selected parts of these 30 verses that you find in Leviticus chapter 23, because in Leviticus chapter 23, the seven Levitical feasts are summarized. And I've underlined portions here that I'm going to read. So stand with me, please. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But you, let me tell you this, I'm only going to be able to touch lightly because to cover seven feasts in 30 minutes is a pretty tough call, but we're going to do the best we can, and I have to do this with some of the experts about feasts sitting right here, one sitting right here in front of me that knows all about the Feast of Israel and is a blessing to our church. Rick McJenkins does the Passover Seder every year, leads us through the Feast of Trumpets and does a great job with that, but I'm going to go through this. But you can read more here, and you can do your own research to go much more in depth. But let's just go through this. I'm going to start with verse 5 Leviticus 23. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6. And the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. So there's two feasts. Go down to verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. This is the feast of first fruits introduced there. Verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. This is Pentecost. Okay, so we're looking at 50 days. Then verse 23, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing the trumpets, a holy convocation. Verse 27, also the 10th of this seventh month shall be the day of atonement. And then verse 34, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, again, here's my timeline. We're going to kind of walk across here. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. This is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was several thousand years before Christ. But still, this is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay on the timeline and go to right here. We have what is called the advantage of hindsight. We can now look back and see that these feasts were actually encouraging the people of Israel and telling them there's more to come. And now we get to celebrate, yeah, look what God was doing. But at the same time, we get to look forward to those three remaining feasts and what they were pointing to for us today. So I want to walk through this, and at each point, I'm going to ask you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is absolutely necessary for all pastors, all preachers, all believers to challenge people about where they are in their relationship with Jesus Christ. First, then, the Feast of Passover, we're seeing these feasts are called appointed times, and they were times that were given to the priest to lead the people to celebrate, or in the case of the Day of Atonement, to mourn. All these feasts were celebrative, except for them, that the Day of Atonement was a day of mourning for their sin, but also the recognition that at least for 1 year their sin had been atoned for. So here we go. First of all, the Passover feast speaks of the substitutionary death of the Lamb of God for us. Christ died on the day of Passover. Very interestingly enough, the religious leaders of the day did not want Jesus to die during Passover. But guess who was in charge? Not the religious Jewish leaders. God was in charge. Jesus was in charge. And therefore, being that he was the true Passover lamb that was anticipated by the event of Passover, Jesus did die on Passover. And you can read more about that in Leviticus. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul gives us a little insight. He says, therefore, purge out the leaven. We'll look at that in a moment. The old leaven, that you may be a new lump. If you go on down in Corinthians, you see, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Since you are all unleavened, for Christ indeed our Passover was sacrificed for us. So Paul acknowledged that Jesus connects the dots all the way back to Passover, that Jesus Christ was our Passover. Then John the Baptist, on the day that Jesus was baptized, when Jesus was coming to him, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We're doing a whole lot of dot connecting real quick. So let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? See, Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb who came to take away our sin guilt. The Passover lamb, at Passover, the people went out on the night that they left Egypt, being delivered from slavery, and they took, according to God's instruction, the blood of the lamb, and they sprinkled it on their doorposts. So when the angel of death came to bring death to the Egyptians, anybody that had the blood on their doorpost, death did not come to that household. That's what God has done for us with the blood of Christ. The curse has been removed, and therefore we get to experience freedom and victory because of Jesus Christ. There must come a time in your life where you receive Jesus Christ as your Passover lamb who died for your sin. It's not negotiable, folks. You must confess Jesus Christ, yourself, as your own Passover lamb. Your parents cannot do that for you. It's something you have to personally do yourself. Then we move on from Passover to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This speaks of the sinless life of Jesus Christ. Leaven represented sin for the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And sin, the leaven had to be removed from the house, and they could not use bread, leaven to make their bread. In fact, the head of the household would have time, they'd go around with a candle and check to see if there's any leaven left in the house, because they had to sweep the floor clean, make sure there was no leaven in the house. The sinlessness is absolutely necessary, and Jesus Christ is our sinless Passover lamb. He had to be the Son of God, born of a virgin. You and I, nobody in this room could ever be able to die for someone else's sin, because we have sin of our own. That there, if there is a death, first of all, we're dying for our own sin or because of our own sin, but Jesus Christ died for us. You see, the matzah that they would use there at the Passover was unleavened. And it was the purpose of the unleavened, again, was to point them towards sinlessness. And Jesus is the only human without sin. And Jesus said in John 6:48, "I am the bread of life." And I think he's more than saying, "I am their sustenance." I am the sinless one. I am the sinless one. And I am the only one who is capable of being your Passover lamb. There is no other way in this world than to be saved than through Jesus Christ. Then first fruits. I got to tell you, folks, this is the peak for me. I know there's others, the peak of those that have already happened, because this is the one that predicts and anticipates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This points to the resurrection not only of Jesus Christ, but of all believers, as we'll see in just a moment. Christ rose on the day of first fruits. How appropriate. First fruits indicates, you see, somebody gets up and says, "Well, first of all, what are you anticipating? Later. A second of all, a third of all, a fourth of all," you're saying this is the first of many. Jesus being the first fruits was the anticipation of others who would be resurrected also. And you see this clearly laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." So I know that as Christ was raised from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, I too one day will be raised up from the dead and will live again in a body that God has prepared for me. There is a glorious resurrection. Now, folks, I'm telling you what, if to some extent that does not cause you at least a little bit to say, you know, Some churches you go to, they'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, everybody pitch a fit. But we need to realize that Christ was raised from the dead. Anytime we sing a song about Christ being raised from the dead, there should be a crescendo in all of us in which we're building, because this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, because it results in our resurrection too. So we have the Passover lamb. Is he your Passover? Is he your sinless Savior? Is he the one who died for you so that you too can live again and live forever and be raised up? This afternoon, it grieves my heart. And you never, after 38 years, pastors never get used to this, of when a church member passes away, especially one that I'm used to seeing every Sunday. I introduced many of you to Moses' brother who used to attend here till he passed away this past Wednesday, Aaron. Aaron Brandon was 97 years old, and maybe you remember seeing him every year on Memorial Day or one of those patriotic days, because Aaron Brandon could still wear his military uniform. Got a little excited there. Be careful. I'm not angry, by the way. Just for Aggie. And he passed away. And he knew the Lord, was a dear brother. But see, this afternoon I'm going to get to say, hey, he lived for 97 years in this little body right here, but he's not there anymore. He's not here. He's with the Lord right now, but there's coming a day that this body is going to be resurrected. He's got his uniform on. He's got his uniform on. So I'm trusting that when he gets raised up, he'll have that uniform on, and he'll just have that strong look that he always has. But you see, I know there's a resurrection coming. Do you? Can you say, Pastor, I'm not worried about death because I know that the only way you can know is, well, I'm a good man. No, you're not. You're not good. Nobody's good. Hey, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever told a lie? Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. You're a bunch of liars. See there? This is a little scary here. How many of you ever cheated? Raise your hand. Okay, liar and cheat. Anybody ever? You don't have to raise your hand because, of course, none of you have lusted after someone. But we'll go ahead and say that if you did raise your hand, which you would have if you were really honest, that makes you a bunch of lying, cheating, adulterers, okay? That's according to Scripture. So everybody in here needs a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only one. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? It's important. And are we anticipating that glorious time of resurrection? And then as we move on through here, I've kind of lost myself in where I was. Oh, Pentecost. Pentecost. This is the feast, also known as Feast of Weeks. This is the time that was prophesied by Joel that the Holy Spirit would come. I mean, it's clearly poured out. I mean, we're looking at Joel. We're going all the way back to the time of the giving of Pentecost. Then we're talking about Joel telling about it. Then we see it really, really come to bear in Acts chapter 2. That tells us on that day, the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came. And here's the way it says there in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them as divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here's what I want you to know. When you got saved, something happened to you other than being born again. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Folks, there's one thing I never, ever, ever, ever doubt, and that is that the Holy Spirit lives in me. Sometimes I don't feel like it, and sometimes I know I don't deserve it, but I know one thing for sure. Jesus said he would come and give me the Comforter, and he did on the day that I got saved, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. Sometimes I get up on Sunday mornings and I feel kind of dry and blah and whip, and I go and I worship and I praise, and suddenly I'm reminded who lives inside of me, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Question now, is the Passover lamb Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord? Did he die for you? And did he come the sinless one? And did he come for you and live in you in such a way that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in you? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Folks, listen to me. Everybody in here is here for a reason. I'm going to tell you why. If you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're here
because you are to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we break this huddle at about 12:15, we all go out as missionaries and representatives of Christ. That's why we're here. That is why we are here. You just happen to have that job so that you can be God's missionary there. Folks, if you went to the international mission field, you would go someplace and work and serve in such a way that you could be a light for Jesus Christ. We just happen to be international missionaries who live here. So either you are here because you are an ambassador of Christ, and in a little while you're going to go out of here, or you're here today because today is the day of salvation for you. I'm going to get right in your face. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then today needs to be the day of salvation for you. I'm going to get really Holy Ghost full at this point in time now. I guarantee, folks, you have no idea if you'll have tomorrow or not. I have been around long enough to know that I'll see one person on one Sunday and the next Sunday they're not here. And sometime during that week I have preached their last service. So I am not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to wake you up to the reality of who the Passover Lamb is, the sinless Son of God, the one who rose from the dead, and the one who has now come to live inside of you if you are saved. And then the last three are anticipatory of what is to come. The Feast of Trumpets. We read all about this, folks, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, about blowing the trumpets to gather the people together when there was a need for the people to come together, for whether it be for war or for whatever. But this one is a different time. And it predicted exactly what we find here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Once again, Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. At the last trumpet. At the last what? What is it called? A trumpet. It's going to sound because Jesus Christ will be returning. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Folks, I hope I'm here for that. It's totally up to the Lord, but I'd sure like to go flying without an airplane or a helicopter. Okay, I think it'd be pretty cool to do that. But if I have gone on, then I get to get raised up before you get to go, okay? I get to be raised up, caught up to meet him in the air, and that. And so either way, it's a good deal, and it will come with the trumpet. And the trumpet sound in those days anticipated this gathering. We have hindsight. We can see it now and understand it. And you can see the other things. I don't have time to go through that. The Day of Atonement. Folks, I'm going to just tell you this one so clear. Every year, there was one day in which the high priest would go through that big, fat, heavy curtain into the Holy of Holies. He would take the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it there on the mercy seat and get forgiveness, atonement for the sins of the people, the sins of the priest, and the impurity of the tabernacle. One time a year. It became, as we read in Hebrews, it was a once-a-year reminder of their guilt. But Jesus Christ came, and when he came, it tells us that scripture that's in here, it says that the veil was torn in two when Jesus died. Why? The veil of the temple was torn in two because access into the Holy of Holies was done. We did not need a bull, a goat, or a ram, or the blood of anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ, who entered into the Holy of Holies and made it possible for us to go in on our own. You don't need a priest to do that because Jesus Christ is our priest. He's also our sacrificial blood lamb. He is the Passover lamb. So we're walking across here and we see all the things that God has done, and now we're anticipating the coming of the blowing of the trumpets and Jesus Christ coming. We're anticipating the time that our sin is washed away, and of course the Jews will look forward to this because they will recognize the one who they had slain and understand it more clearly. And then the last is the Feast of Tabernacles. Hey, we went through this a few weeks ago at the Feast of Tabernacles. Every year during this time, the people would set up little dwelling places outside their home. Temporary houses, tabernacles, tents, whatever you want to call it. And they'd live in those for a while. And this was a picture of the gathering. But you see, here's what it says in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. dwelt among us. It's what the word dwelt there is translating, the word tabernacle. Jesus came and tabernacled with us so that we could experience and see God. And then we see over in Revelation chapter 21, 3, the peak of it all. I mean, everything going all the way back to the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb, the unleavened bread, first fruits, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the trumpet sound, Yom Kippur, the washing away and the cleansing of our sin. And then ultimately God said this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, dwelling place. God is going to be right there with us all of the time. All right? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Let me tell you what, folks. You better know Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, the sinless one, the one who is raised from the dead, the one who has done all these things for us, sending the Holy Spirit, promising that one day he's coming again. You better be ready. And then knowing that he has made atonement for us, and then ultimately that we will be with God, celebrating, worshiping. A lot of people say, that's going to be boring. How in the world? We're going to be with the God who made all the galaxies. And in my imagination, which I'm supposed to use, according to Scripture, in my imagination, I can be with this God and he say, hey, let's go check out the Milky Way. What am I going to say? No, I got other things to do today. I mean, the one who made it will take us on tours. He will take us into the depth of the Grand Canyon. I got a feeling we'll go to the bottom of the oceans and look around and experience and say, oh God. And the way I always like to say it, we're going to gawk at the majesty and the glory of God. Hey, that's what he's done for you. Folks, I don't want to miss that, and I'm not going to miss that, because Jesus Christ is my Passover lamb. He is the sinless one. He was the one raised again on the third day and promised to give me the resurrection. Also, he was the one who sent the Holy Spirit. He is the one promising that there's going to be a trumpet blast, and he's going to return and take us with him, and that he has made atonement for us, and then ultimately, we're going to live constantly for eternity in the presence of God. Folks, I would not miss that for the world. And unfortunately, there's a heck of a lot of people that are willing to miss it for the world. Really? For temporary, momentary pleasure. Don't you dare. And don't you dare say that preacher didn't tell me, because I just did. And my hope today is you will come. Pastor Paul and I are going to be down here at the front. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I'm telling you, there is no greater day than for you to do that. Perhaps today the Lord is saying, you need to join this church. I want you here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized by immersion, we invite you to come and join us. If you've not yet been baptized, but Jesus is your Savior and Lord, we can take care of the baptism later. You just come on. Altar's a place to kneel and pray. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask everybody to come to the altar so that we can be one together in prayer. Stand with me, please. Pastor Steve is going to come and lead us. Let me ask you a question. Are you all about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, it's easy to say amen in here and get out and forget, isn't it? Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Hey, I don't want to be fruitless. I don't want to be fruitless. So let's say today, God, use me and cause me by your power to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For a couple of minutes, just the music's going to play. I encourage you to pray during this time. Altar's open to pray. In a moment, we'll be doing the singing. You can still respond during that time also. And then I'll invite you all to the altar for unity in prayer.